a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for making us part of your Sunday evening. We do appreciate that. Know that there are many, many choices that you can make in any given week, and we're glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. And one of the reasons that I'm so happy about that is because we are bringing you week in and week out great stories, whether it would be one individual person and their story of how they grappled with a pregnancy decision, or whether it would be an expert working in the areas of policy or theology or helping to lead us as a culture into a culture of life. We bring you great stories. It's just such a joy for me as the host of this program and working behind the scenes to research and secure our guests to get to know each one of them and then be able to bring you their stories, because they're so inspiring and they're so uplifting. You know, I'm not the first person to notice that there's been a move in the last few years, starting with Shout Your Abortion, and now there's an organized effort, which is very well funded by abortion advocates, the 3-in-1 campaign, where people will share their abortion stories, and they're not repentant. They're stories of difficult decisions, but of lives made better by the abortion choice. And, of course, it always raises the question, if it's not a human being that's being destroyed, why is it a difficult decision? The answers vary, but usually they fail to acknowledge the problem at the middle of the difficulty, the existence of another person in this problem. And often when you go ahead and read these stories, they're overwhelmingly sad. They're very difficult. And the best victory that most can claim is, "And thus I completed my college education, and thus I became a successful lawyer, and thus I carried on with my dream." But there's very seldom any glory in it, there, because there's no sacrifice. There's no bravery. There's no, it's the ultimate tap out in the wrestling match of life. Now, I know that not everyone had an abortion as I did, as a moral failing as mine was. However, I have not yet heard a story of abortion that inspired me to think of the glory of God in it. I just haven't. Maybe I haven't heard enough stories. I've heard hundreds. Tonight's story is God's glory all over it. And it's not an abortion story, but it's a story where abortion was definitely promoted. Abortion was, said to be necessary to save this mother's life. And we're going to let Amanda Solomon share the details of that with you. Amanda, thank you for joining us here on Cradle My Heart Radio tonight.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm really doing well, and I'm so glad that your story came to our attention, because, wow, it just illustrates so many things, including the fact that, you know, we have our pro-life principles, but it can be very challenging when we find ourselves faced with our own decisions. So give us a little bit of your background. You're a pro-life advocate. You have been for some time, right?
Yes, ma'am. I remember in high school, I live in a small town, and our high school, I was in high school, and the local newspaper, we have a very active pro-life group here, and I remember I was a sophomore in high school, and they posted very graphically what happened in a late-term abortion, and from that moment on, I knew abortion was wrong and that I would do everything in my power to save as many babies as I could. So fast forward, you know, through my life, I had my first child when I was 19. I was married and had my first child, and you know, I loved being a mother. Thought it was great, but I continued to advocate for the unborn. I had cancer whenever I was 24, and we thought that all possibility of me having more children was taken due to the aggressive chemotherapy that I did. However, shortly after finishing chemotherapy, I did become pregnant. I was taking the most effective form of birth control there was, but I did in fact become pregnant again with my third son, and felt very blessed and very happy. But after that, I took measures to not become pregnant anymore. I had an endometrial ablation, which was not necessarily to prevent pregnancy, but to help with some hormonal issues caused by the chemotherapy. And after that surgery, my doctor told me that I would no longer be able to get pregnant, especially if there was the absence of periods after the surgery, which in my case there was.
After that procedure, the ablation, the endometrius isn't competent to really carry a pregnancy, right? I mean, is that the concern, right?
Correct. They burn the layer of your the endometrial layer of your uterus, so there's nothing for a pregnancy to implant in, if you, you know, so you can't, you're not supposed to be able to nurture a forming baby. So, probably 5 years ago. And I had always wanted more children, and I thought about adopting. Four was always my magic number. Even whenever I was, you know, in my early teens, I remember thinking, I want four children. And, I thought, well, you know, three is wonderful and they're great. You know, everybody's happy and healthy and they're just amazing, an amazing blessing to me. So I didn't feel like I was in a position to complain. Last summer I was feeling a little off. I didn't have periods, but, I felt pregnant, for lack of a better word. I just felt pregnant. And, you know, those of us that have been pregnant, you definitely know,
right,
that there are telltale signs. And I thought, surely I'm not pregnant. I mean, but it nagged at me. And finally, my best friend said, just go get a pregnancy test. You'll feel better. You know, you're not pregnant. And then you need to go to the doctor and maybe, you know, get a workup done and see if everything's okay. So we were at a barbecue actually with my best friends, and I ran to the store and got a pregnancy test, and it came up positive immediately. And it said that I was roughly 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks along, and I was absolutely flabbergasted and scared to death, because I knew as soon as it popped up, I knew that there would be complications due to the ablation. And honestly, I didn't think that it would be a viable pregnancy. I thought that I would have a miscarriage. But I went to my doctor later that week, and I had begun spotting, and you know, they said, well, we can't really rule out an ectopic pregnancy, because that's very common after you've had an ablation. You know, if you do become pregnant, it's, you know, in your fallopian tubes, and that requires immediate medical attention, of course. And, you know, so if you start bleeding heavily over the weekend, just go into the ER. Well, lo and behold, on Saturday, I did begin bleeding heavily and went to the ER, and they confirmed that I had a small gestational sac exiting my cervix, to quote the doctor, and that, you know, I would be passing the baby soon, and, you know, just everything would be fine, and just, you know, follow up with my regular OB. So that, you know, it wasn't surprising to me. As I said, I had prepared myself that this pregnancy more than likely wasn't going to result in a baby, just because of the condition of my uterus.
Sure.
Some things, my appointment with my doctor to follow up had kind of gotten pushed out a little farther, and something within my work had come up, and I had to bump the appointment out further. Long story short, though, after the miscarriage, I was feeling horrible, and I had one stomach virus after another, quote unquote. And, I was gaining weight, and I didn't understand it. I've never had an issue with, my weight, and it was just, I just was not understanding what was happening. And I thought, well, there might be, like, some residual HCG in my system. You know, let me just take a pregnancy test and, see if I need to bump that doctor's appointment up to, we didn't do a DNC. Maybe they needed to do a DNC. So I took a pregnancy test, and I again took one that tells you how many weeks it's been since you've ovulated, and it immediately came up positive and said that I was 10 plus weeks pregnant, more than 10 weeks. So 10 is what it maxed out at. I completely was overwhelmed with emotion. The shock of knowing that you're still pregnant and not understanding how that could be. And I called my doctor immediately, and they weren't quite understanding what I was telling them. And they're like, oh no, your appointment for next week's fine. And we'll get you in. And I'm like, you're not understanding what I'm telling you. Like, this is not a new pregnancy. This is the same pregnancy. I need to see someone. Well, they kind of still kept giving me the runaround. So I went to our local pregnancy crisis center, and explained to them what was going on, and said, look, I just need some answers. I don't know how this can be. I don't understand. I mean, am I really still pregnant? Is this, and they were so kind.
Amanda, I'm gonna jump in right real quick here, because we've got to get to a break. So hold that thought. I want to know what happened at that pregnancy center, because the story's just getting good. Amanda Solomon is our guest. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back. Please stay with us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
My Heart Radio, and we're live on this Sunday, the 4th of February, 2018, and glad that you are with us. And we're talking with Amanda Solomon, and she was told that this pregnancy that we've just learned about was not, that there are no good outcomes for pregnancies like hers. But before you got to that judgment call, Amanda, you went to a pregnancy center because your doctor couldn't really grasp what was happening. What happened when you got to the pregnancy center?
Well, first, let me say I had never been on that end of dealing with a pregnancy crisis center, and they were so unbelievably kind. And they took me in and just embraced me, and wanted to help me in any way they could, even though I wasn't a typical, walk-in. Didn't know what to do. It was, but they of course confirmed my pregnancy with a test, and then they did an ultrasound, and there, she put the wand on my stomach, and there's this baby kicking and moving, and I'm just in awe, and the ultrasound technician was in awe, because she had heard my story and knew, and she located a spot. You could see she said, well, it appears as though you've miscarried a twin. There was a divot in the lining where it would have appeared that another baby had been implanted. But to see this child that I didn't know was even inside me, moving and kicking around, and just as happy as she could be, you know, it was the most amazing turn of events for me at that point.
So, and there's the explanation. You had miscarried a twin, but you're carrying the other twin, right? So
yes,
you're able to finally now confirm this with your physician, and the physician is kind of not on board, right?
No. Whenever I went to the pregnancy crisis place, they told me I was 11 weeks and, you know, I think 3 or 4 days at the time. And so whenever I called my OB back, you know, they got me in immediately. And I saw my regular OB later that week, and she put the wand on my stomach, and we heard the heartbeat. And, of course, they had done ultrasounds, so we looked at the pictures. And then she said, you know, Amanda, we really need to talk about this because there are no good outcomes for pregnancies like yours. She said there are no case studies where the mother makes it out alive. And this is very dangerous to you, and you need to look at all your options very carefully. And I, just that moment, you know, it's so easy to say you're pro-life, so easy to say you're pro-life when you are not sitting there listening to that doctor tell you that carrying this child may kill you. Or in her words, will kill you. But I just, you know, it was almost, and I know this sounds a little odd, but it was almost humorous to me. It's just like, oh, okay, all right, yep, I see what you're doing here, God. I've got it. I understand.
Wow.
Well, you know, you kind of have to look at it like it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm up for this challenge, maybe. But you know, I told her in that moment, I said, you know, I'm going to carry this baby, whatever outcome, I'm going to carry this child, and I, you know, need you to either get on board or get out. And she said, well, I certainly respect your decision, but I won't be able to be a part of the process, and I will refer you to a high-risk doctor. I said, yes, ma'am.
Wow. And so the next doctor?
Yes. Yes. My maternal fetal medicine doctor, I met with her, and, you know, she just was amazing. She took my hand and said, Amanda, we're going to do this. She said, I've done this before, and we will do this and get you through this pregnancy. She said, it's not going to be easy, but we're going to do it.
And how wonderful. How wonderful, especially because what did that do for you to have her confidence and the hope,
you know,
that she conveyed to you?
I was in such a dark place. I was just, I was so depressed because, as I said, I had known from the beginning when I found out I was pregnant that it would be a dangerous pregnancy. And then to hear that confirmed and be encouraged to terminate my pregnancy. But then, you know, to have someone take your hand and say, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not going to tell you to just give up. I'm going to hold your hand, and I'm going to tell you that we're going to try to get to the other side, and, you know, I'll be there for you and help you. It lifted my spirit so much. It was a breath of fresh air.
Oh my goodness!
I felt like...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know that this story is so dramatic and it's so encouraging. I mean, it's very, very. I think it builds up our faith just to hear how God moved, how you kept faith, how your doctor gave faith. But the thing is, we're up against this clock. We've got about 5 minutes remaining. And there's, I mean, you almost did lose your life. That wasn't just an empty threat. I mean, you almost did lose your life, Amanda. Tell us just briefly what happened with that and how God brought you through it.
At 26 weeks, I was admitted to the hospital for hemorrhaging, and I wasn't able to leave the hospital until I delivered Sadie at 33 weeks. When they went to deliver Sadie, of course, I had to have a C-section with a hysterectomy and be put under general anesthesia because of all the risks. But my doctors were prepared. They had blood weighting, and they cut you open vertically, and they remove the baby, and then they take the uterus out. Once they delivered Sadie and tried to take my uterus out, it was discovered that my placenta had grown into my bladder and had done damage to my arteries. Mm. So I bled out during surgery several times, actually. And they operated for, to be honest, my husband actually was telling me the other day, I think I didn't get out of surgery. I went in at 1:20 and didn't get out till about 10:30. So, and they took me to ICU on life support. So I didn't wake up until... I woke up briefly with the ventilator on, but they did another surgery, and they were able to stop the bleeding, fix my arteries that were damaged. And when they did that, we knew I was going to make it. And, you know, my thing through this story is that God rewards obedience every time.
And Sadie's well.
And
Babies well, you know, and here, well, amen. I mean, God absolutely rewards obedience. I guess what I want to circle back to is, you know, this idea that, okay, God, this is funny. I'm pro-life. This is not funny. This is horrible, but Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. So what do you say to those who say there needs to be an exception for when the mother's life is at risk? How do you answer that?
For me personally, I feel like, you know, it makes me mad that the doctor suggested I terminate just simply because she wasn't familiar enough with what to do in this medical scenario. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to say, well, let's terminate this child, and then you protect the life of the mother. But that's not always the case. I think if we don't have the option of terminating the child, then doctors have to work a little harder to do their job to save the patient and the baby.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And
that's my personal thought.
Right. And so, which is exactly what your doctor did. So I guess, you know, just... if I could just kind of paraphrase, what you're saying is, yes, we may need interventions to save a woman's life, but we also have to think about saving the child's life. We can't use it as a pretext for ending the life of a child that might otherwise even really be healthy.
Well, my point, especially in a CRITA diagnosis, which is what I had, why terminate the pregnancy at 24 to 26 weeks because you've discovered a CRITA? Why not deliver the child? They had planned to deliver Sadie at 26 weeks whenever I hemorrhaged, but my body, they were able to contain the bleeding. Sadie had a roughly 40% chance of making it without complications. That's decent odds. That's worth fighting for.
You're so awesome, Amanda. You just, I'm just delighting. It's the reason I'm laughing, because your courage and your faith is just really inspiring. And we are out of time, but I want to encourage everyone listening to go to cradlemyheart.org and find the links to Amanda's story where she works at Life Defenders. Story is also very popular at Live Action. I think it was shared well over 1,000 times. Amanda, God bless you, and thank you so much for opening your heart to share a very dramatic and a very personal moment of faith and God's goodness to you. Thanks for being our guest tonight.
Kim, I appreciate it.
Again, go to cradlemyheart.org for links to learn more, because there is more to the story. Now stay with us. Coming up, a beautiful poem through children's eyes. Thank you.
seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Our phones are open, and we'd love to hear your voice at 1-800-811-3003. Maybe you have a reaction to Amanda Solomon's story. I know not every story has a happy ending when there's an emergency situation during a pregnancy, late in a pregnancy. I know that often tragedy, stillbirth, loss of life is the end of the story. However, as Amanda said, and as her story so beautifully illustrates, if we have any chance of saving the life of the child as well as the life of the mother, shouldn't we take that chance? What do you think? Are you familiar with stories like Amanda's? Do you have a story to share? 1-800-811-3003. And I know women who took that medical advice to abort because of the situation. And I've heard from them, their anguish, that maybe God had something very special in mind for them and they should have left it in God's hands. I've heard that grief as well. 1-800-811-3003. We want to give you the chance to share your story. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And next we're going to be joined by John Miller. John is a retired engineer and educator from Brule, Wisconsin, in the northern part of the state. These days he's pursuing his vocation as a poet and a public speaker, proclaiming God's word applied to many contemporary issues. And John's wife, Kathy, reached out to us to share a poem that he's written called Through Innocent Eyes. And John, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio to share your poem with us tonight. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much for writing this poem, and be sure and again convey our thanks to Kathy for sharing it with us on email. And by the way, kim@cradlemyheart.org is our email if anyone wants to write to me. I answer that email personally, and I would never share your information unless you ask that it would be shared on the air. Kathy didn't request that. She simply wanted to share the poem, but I thought it would be wonderful, John, if we could get you on to read it for us. And so without further ado, I want to give you the chance to do that and to share with us Through Innocent Eyes, and then we'll talk a little bit about your inspiration for the poem as well.
Sure. Yes, I wrote a poem about abortion that covers the event from conception through eternal life as seen through the eyes of the unborn child. At this time, I'd like to share that poem with all the listeners. The title is Through Innocent Eyes. Conceived in love or lust, I will never know whether plans for starting a family life or pleasure now throughout the night. Some say I'm just tissue and not yet alive because they can't see me with their eyes. Mother visits a place where so-called parenting is planned, greeted with a smile and taken by the hand. Led to a room that I fearfully dread, now feeling cold steel scissors impale the back of my head. I am no longer able to complete this poem. My spirit will finish for me instead. 60 million have gone before me, some not as developed as I, with small limbs and undeveloped hearts. Their lives were ended, then studied. Some were sold as body parts. Such desecration of life should be banned, where women are greeted with a smile and led by their hand. My life was of no value in my mother's eyes. Was it gender, race, or physical size? Was I imperfect in mind, heart, or hands, or a regretful consequence of a one-night stand? These reasons are justified to end my life in the views of the secular world's eyes. Never will I see how my father's chest would have expanded with pride if only he had seen what mother had carried inside. Absent is the feeling of being held in loving arms to rest or take nourishment from mother's breast, nor learn how to laugh, run, or play, or see the sun rise at the break of day, ride a bike, fish a pond. These have all gone away. Sadness comes upon me. Tomorrow would have been my birthday. Regrets remain in mother's mind. Happiness and peace are absent from her heart. Only sadness, loneliness, and endless strife for what she did and what could have been. Will she allow this to torment her to the end? There is forgiveness for all sins, yes, even for taking an innocent life, and the guilt, shame, and sleepless nights. Repent and ask God for forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ and experience starting a refreshing new life. He will forgive all your sins and remember them no more. This you can trust. It's written in His Word. I reside in heaven where I will spend eternal life. There is no more pain, death, or reason to cry, sharing what I have seen through innocent eyes.
Wow, John. That's so beautiful. And I want to give you the chance to talk about what inspired you to write the poem.
Yes, there's being a Christian, there's a verse in the Bible that convicts me nearly every day, and that's James 4:17 from the King James Version, which states, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." When it comes to abortion, I believe that all Christians have a responsibility to stand up against this evil and speak out. And if we know that we should do good and do it not, we have committed a sin of omission. And also I believe that if we Christians believe that abortion is wrong and do nothing about it, is not the blood of the innocent unborn children equally on our hands as on the hands of the abortionist? I believe the answer is yes.
Mm. And you were recently invited to talk about the Laodicean church. And for those not familiar with the descriptors in the book of Revelations about the various spiritual attitude and state of churches representing the bodies of believers, share with us your message about the Laodicean church that you recently presented in, was it in Duluth, Minnesota?
Yes, at the Pro-Life Ministries in Duluth, Minnesota, under the executive director of Sarah Wynn Andy. In the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verses 14 through 7, it talks about the Laodicean church as the lukewarm church. And it talks that the explanation for a lukewarm church is because they rely on themselves. That in verse 14, it says, "I know thy works that are neither cold nor hot," and that Christ's message was that he wishes that you were cold or hot, but because they are lukewarm, he will spew thee out of his mouth. The lukewarm churches, it says that they are rich and increased with goods, and they are in need of nothing. But Christ tells us that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In the lukewarm churches these days, I don't see the churches speaking up or out much about abortion. Some churches get groups together and pray about it, and some have hold demonstrations, or not demonstrations, but hold plaques and march against it. But as the vast majority of Christians, I don't believe that we're doing enough to get our message across. I don't believe that the churches are getting the message, leaving the interior walls of the church and getting it out to the people on the street. I believe that we all fall short in that area.
And so as you're talking, you know, I even for a church to invite you to give a message like that tells me that the church must be doing something. You know, what's your sense about the average person, and what's your heart on this, John? You know, you and I don't know one another beyond, as I mentioned, your wife Kathy submitting the poem to me. But we spoke briefly before you agreed to come and read the poem on the air for us, and I asked you about your personal involvement with the pro-life cause, and I'm always curious to know what has drawn people into becoming active on this. You know, we may have our beliefs, we may have arguments or conversations with friends or family members or church, you know, friends from church. But when a person decides to become active, generally they can pinpoint something that was very motivating for them. In my case, I've been very frank about, you know, the fact that I chose abortion out of ignorance and during a time in my life when I was very rebellious against God. It was very quiet, cowardly rebellion, but rebellion all the same. And it was not until the truth of Scripture dawned in my heart and the Holy Spirit unveiled my eyes to the meaning of Christ on the cross that I could reconcile that experience. And, claim that forgiveness that your poem so beautifully promises us. What was it for you that motivated you to become active with your writing and speaking, John?
Well, my writing started years ago with writing tribute poems for our veterans and troops, which was also convicted by God. As far as the church, through the pro-life ministries, they had a 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and they had a manifesto, about an hour and a half program, and they read 45 scriptures from the Bible about abortion. The Shedding of Innocent Blood was the program's title. Mm. Myself, God has convicted me over the years. As you said, he has opened my eyes to certain scriptures, and he brings them so clear to you that you can't not get the message from it. I never have believed that killing is right or murder, and to think about 60 million unborn children have been slaughtered, and we know now that they have feel pain in late-term abortions. I can't sit still and not do nothing because I would be guilty of a sin of omission, like I mentioned earlier in James 4:17. So when God convicts me to do something, no matter what it is, I just submit myself to him, have him lead me, and follow his direction.
But you don't, I mean, it wasn't somebody confessing an abortion to you. It wasn't that you had any personal involvement with anybody who had been impacted by abortion. This was simply God allowing the truth to dawn in your spirit so that you were compelled to speak.
God, through his Holy Spirit, speaks to my spirit as he does to every Christian, and not in a verbal tone or anything, but he convicts
right.
people, situations, or his word, and that's where I'm convicted by reading his word and then wanting to do his will.
We're going to take a short break, but then when we come back, I want to talk with you, John, about the inspiration poetically, if you will, about imagining the child in heaven.
Yes.
And seeing the story through their eyes, because this is something that I've done as well with our song that's on our CD, Let Love Love You. The song is called The Chance, and it looks at the abortion situation from the point of view of the child in heaven. And I want to assure everyone who has been personally impacted by abortion, maybe you're still bound in grief over an abortion that you participated in, that the children in heaven, because they have only known the love of Jesus Christ, first of all, have forgiven everyone involved with the taking of their lives, and have also never known that sorrow that so deeply impacts us here on earth. We'll talk about that aspect of your imagining heaven through innocent eyes and abortion through innocent eyes as well, John. Stay with us. We're talking with poet and public speaker John Miller from Brule, Wisconsin, here on Cradle My Heart Radio. Back right after this.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
I'm Kim Cattola, your host for Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're so glad that you're here. Please visit cradlemyheart.org for lots of resources for help after abortion, for help with a pregnancy decision, for help with adoption resources if you would release a child for adoption, stories, articles, resources, books, links. There's so much there for you. We have really been blessed to be able to compile so many good things that others are doing for the cause of life at cradlemyheart.org. I hope you'll take advantage of it. You know, when we shared earlier tonight Amanda Solomon's story about her pregnancy, where the physician said to her, there are no good outcomes for pregnancies like yours. Amanda talked about, 40% chance that a child after endometrial ablation could survive. She said, those are good odds. You know, well, and I mentioned, not every story has a happy ending. She has her precious daughter now, and her life was saved, and she did almost die. But wow, on our page this week, we shared Megan Elliott Jacobs' post on Facebook, and a friend who's at Megan's church shared it with me. She made it public on Facebook. So she started her post by quoting from Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And she said, "This has been my prayer as Luke's legacy continues." And so here is a picture of little Luke, stillborn, 19 weeks. She said in the post, "I've struggled and he's beautiful. His arms are folded serenely over his chest and he's got a precious little cap on and he's on a hand-knitted crocheted blanket." And she wrote, "I've struggled with whether or not it was okay to share a picture of Luke, but I've come to the realization..." This is so moving. I'm sorry. I'm really touched by this. "I struggled with whether or not it was okay to share a picture of Luke, but I've come to the realization that all of God's creations are perfectly beautiful, exactly how he brought them into the world." She also said, "I've also realized that almost every state in our country still allows abortions at 19 weeks, which is how old Luke is in this picture. My hope is that more people will see this picture and realize the life that is being taken. He was without a doubt more than simply a fetus." And she went on to ask for prayers because she has some issues with future pregnancies, including incompetent cervix, and she does need our prayers. Again, her name is Megan Elliott Jacobs. But I want you to go to our Facebook page and look at his picture because he's truly beautiful. 1-800-811-3003 is our number, and we're speaking with John Miller about the value of children, about how they see us from heaven, how they view the abortion experience from heaven. And John, if someone's just joining us, didn't hear you read your poem, we're going to post it as soon as this interview is over at cradlemyheart.org. But how did you write what you wrote in terms of what the point of view of the child in heaven would be?
Well, we have to go back a couple steps here. The purpose of this poem is twofold. First, that maybe some would read this poem and realize the things that they may be going through that they haven't realized, maybe as a deterrent to not have an abortion. Also, at the end of the poem, for those who have had an abortion, to let them know that through their love and mercy of our Heavenly Father, that there's forgiveness for the sin of taking innocent life. In Matthew, it says that all sins of man are forgiven. And this is no different than any other sin, that if we believe in Jesus Christ as died as our Lord and Savior, we also die with him and our sins are dead. And I wrote this poem to try to have the maximum input on getting it across to people that it's not our views, but I wrote it as the view as seen through the eyes of the unborn child. Now we know Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:7 that our body returns back to the dust of the earth from which it was formed, and our spirit returns back to God who gave it. And it's no different with these unborn children. Their spirit has returned back to God, and there is forgiveness. I can't tell you what the babies are thinking in heaven, but I know that being with God in Jesus, that they forgive all our sins too.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
The only one that has to forgive their own sins is the people that have made a mistake. Then they have to know that Jesus forgave all their sins when he shed his blood on the cross, and the people that have had abortions have to forgive themselves, because they're the only ones, some may be the only ones that haven't forgiven is themselves.
And I must say that I totally agree with everything John has just preached to you there. And I would add that it's okay to forgive yourself. It doesn't mean that you're hurting the baby once more and that now you're just moving on. Don't attach to the grief. Allow Jesus to heal that grief and allow him to replace it with good memories. And even if it's the love you feel today that you failed to feel when the child was still alive on this earth, that's a good memory that you can savor today. You don't have to attach to that grief in order to hold on to the experience of having been a parent to that child. You know, when I mentioned earlier at the top of this program that those of us involved with abortion share our stories so that the glory of God might shine through, that people would know how far Jesus will go to bring us back to himself. And that, you know, the glory of the love of God and the faith and what it can provide for us so shone through in Megan's beautiful tribute to her beautiful son, Luke. And John, you know, your love for people shines through in your poem, in your wish to minister to them by writing it in the way that you have. And, you know, trying to warn others and trying to prevent abortion is a loving thing to do. And I want you to talk about that in the couple of minutes that we have remaining, about being motivated by love, because so often someone can attribute, you know, our activism, our deciding to speak out, as just wanting to be against women's rights. And that's so foolish. That's got so little to do with what motivates me. But talk about the love that motivates you.
As we go through our trials and tribulations, and I've had my share of those, you know, we sometimes lose our focus, which we should be focused on Christ and not the situation. But I've learned by having patience and having faith that you can take an opportunity like this and you can dwell on a situation and be in torment for the rest of your life. You can confess your sins to Jesus Christ and know that you are forgiven, and then you can go and minister to those who are maybe thinking about it. So you can take something that has started off on the right, wrong foot, and through God's Holy Spirit, you can prevent this from happening to others. You can view this as an opportunity to let your light shine. Don't hide your candle under a bushel basket. You know, I'm not asking to go out and confess your sins to everybody on the face of the earth, because most won't understand. But take this opportunity to preach to others so they prevent them from making this similar mistake.
Sure. And just preaching is as simple as sharing your story and sharing God's word as it applies to your story. John, thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure to meet you and to hear your poem Through Innocent Eyes. And we'll have it posted at cradlemyheart.org after tonight's broadcast. Thanks so much for being with us.
God's peace be with everyone.
Thank you. Amen. Well, our opportunity to share is coming to a close tonight, and I really appreciate you being with us. And again, you can always reach me via email, kim@cradlemyheart.org, and know that that will be kept in the strictest confidence. And I always try to return a message within 24 hours. So if you weren't able to call in, please, if there's something on your heart and you want to discuss it via email, let me know. Don't wait any longer. I waited over 23 years to pursue my healing. Part of that was because, yes, I was ignorant of all of the riches of God's mercy and grace for me. But part of that was, you know, wishing to punish myself. And part of it was, as I said, attached to the grief because I didn't want that experience to really be over. Please don't delay your healing. There are people in ministries who can help you face to face, and will help you refer you and help you find one of those organizations close to you. Whatever your need, there is someone else who has experienced it who can reach back and give you a helping hand. And if not me, I promise you, I'll work with you to find that person until you can be satisfied that God's promises are for you too, and that Jesus loves you even if there's an abortion, there are multiple abortions, or something that you feel is even worse in your past. Jesus loves you, even if you fell that far short. Thanks so much for being part of our broadcast. Go to cradlemyheart.org to learn more and to get in touch with us as well. Be sure and follow us on social media to keep up to date with the very latest with the ministry. We'll be back next week. I hope you will be too. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.